Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome, everyone. The Bastards are back for this midweek edition of the podcast. We are downloaded in over 30 countries across the globe and available on every major media platform. For everyone listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show if you have not already. Nothing you do will help us more immensely. As always, a quick disclaimer for any first-time listeners, this is not a Homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. The Red Sox just wrapped up a three-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays, winning the series dramatically 2-1. They are currently atop the AL East by 1.5 games over the Toronto Blue Jays. Once again, I am Terry Cushman coming to you from Lewiston, Maine. You can harass me on Twitter at CushmanMLB. You can also find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. And if you want to send us some hate mail via email, you can do that at bastardsofboston, all one word, at gmail.com. And you can submit your hot takes for the Hot Take Tuesday episode right there as well. Joining me tonight from the nation's capital by way of Newport, Rhode Island, Job Goddard. Job, how are you?
Doing great. It was a great way to end the series there with that home run and then Matt Barnes closing the door. So much better than I thought I was going to be 20 minutes ago. A little bit of a late start here, so let's make it a quick show. And just one quick thing, Perry. As of right now, because of the Red Sox winning that game, Red Sox are 1 game above Tampa, 1.5 above New York, 2.5 above Toronto.
2.5 above Toronto. Okay, so it's 1.5 over the New York Yankees. My bad.
Yeah, and one ahead of Tampa.
And one ahead of Tampa. Okay, so it's razor thin in the American League East. Job, where can they find you on Twitter?
People can find me at JobMLB. That's JobMLB. As always, no job applications. Thank you.
Also joining us tonight, coming off the bench, Doug James from the Bastards Investigate episode. Andrew Dwan having a family event to attend. Doug, I want to say you're from Syracuse, or is it right outside of Syracuse?
It's outside of Syracuse, Utica, New York. Utica. Probably not a lot of people have heard of it. Yeah, Utica. But a lot of people, I'm sure, hasn't heard of that. So Syracuse, everyone knows where Syracuse is. So I just tell people I'm from Syracuse.
Okay. Sometimes it's easier. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. And where can they find you again on Twitter?
They can find me at DJR036.
DJR036. Excellent.
Yeah.
So... Yep. Dramatic series against a team that could potentially end up winning the American League East. The Toronto Blue Jays gave us a good fight, and they had two crap pitchers starting the series and still nearly took it from us. But We'll get into the heroics of the eighth inning shortly, or ninth inning, I should say, actually. Just quick thoughts, though, and I know, Doug, you're going to have some. That stadium in Dunedin, oh, I can't wait for the Blue Jays to move out of that.
It's like playing in a Little League park. I mean, I've played at stadiums local that are bigger than that. It's ridiculous. Tonight's the last night, so they'll be moving to Buffalo after tonight. But my goodness, what a terrible place to play a Major League Baseball game. Like, be better, MLB. Be better, Toronto. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Job, any thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One, the stands aren't high enough to shade the outfield. Why are you playing a big league game in a park that's not made for it? Two, it was extremely difficult to play with that wind. All three games of the series, the wind going straight out to right on the short porch. Right fielders were having a tough time reading the ball on both sides. The home field advantage there is crazy for Toronto. So I'm happy to get out of there, especially with a series win. And I'm glad they're not playing any more games there. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's just frustrating to me as well. I know this is kind of a touchy subject, but we're having Fenway Park open up to full capacity, and the Blue Jays can't even play at the Rogers Center. I mean, come on. That's just absolutely crazy. I'm glad we don't have to go back there. They'll be in Buffalo. A Twitter person made an interesting observation. If hypothetically, and it's a big hypothetical at the moment, if the Blue Jays get to the World Series, are there going to be World Series games in Buffalo in a non-major league
Baltimore
stadium?
Just play it. Just play at Camden at that point. I don't know if you guys have seen any games at Camden. I've been to three games at Camden the last month. It's like AL East South for everybody. It's a home game for the opponent every single time. So just put it at Camden Yards. Let's just see some World Series games at Camden.
There we go.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was just, when he brought it up, I thought, oh, you know, that's interesting. But getting into the series now, studs and duds. Job, you're in the leadoff position. Who is your stud for this Red Sox-Toronto series?
My stud is going to be Bobby Dalbec. He's been a dud for me, I want to say, three different times on the season so far, but he had a good series. I don't have his exact series numbers in front of me because I was focused on today's home run in the top of the second inning. But he did strike out a fair bit. He had five strikeouts in the series, which not ideal. That's what we're now going to expect from Dalbec. What I do know is that in his last, I want to say, 15 games, Bobby Dalbec is on an absolute tear. He's hitting .327 in those games, which, granted, not a lot of at-bats. I'm going to give you the numbers right now. That is, in his last seven games, 23 at-bats, 8 hits, 10 RBIs, 2 walks, 3 home runs, only 8 strikeouts, 1 stolen base for a .348 average. He's absolutely heating up. And you just watch the game. With him at the bottom of the order actually making contact with the ball, the team is so much more dangerous. It takes a lot of pressure off the top of the lineup. And when they don't have it, like they didn't have it in this series necessarily. I mean, JD was the big hero, but he didn't necessarily have it the whole series. He went 1-for-9 in the first two games. When Dalbec can hit and be a force that maybe in other lineups would be a 7-hitter, a 6-hitter, it transforms the entire team. So I love Dalbec in this series. I'd like to see more of him, but he's only hitting .088 against right-handed pitching, and that needs to change. I don't know exactly how you do that with him playing every day, but he needs a serious tweak against right-handed pitching.
Doug, thoughts on Dalbec?
Yeah, I've been impressed with Dalbec. I'm glad the Red Sox didn't give up on him because I was kind of down on Dalbec and I was thinking, well, maybe we could improve at first base a little bit, but he's been really good. Like Job said, over the last 7 games, or what is it, 15 games, but he's been really good. That home run today was great. Opposite way. When he goes the opposite field, he's so much better. And so when you notice he goes the opposite, that's when he's clicking, when he goes the opposite way. And this series, he did that. He gives you a really solid defense at first. So I've been pleasantly surprised with the reemergence of Dahlbeck. I'm happy. Hopefully he stays that way. But like Job said, he does have to start doing better against right-handers. So hopefully that'll change. But I've been impressed with Dahlbeck, and he had a really, really good series.
He's coming on, and he's no longer an automatic out. And that was a big complaint for several of us for much of the season, not getting any production out of that bottom third. But when a couple of them are hitting, just tonight in the bottom of the ninth, a do or die situation, Dahlbeck gets on, Chavis gets on. So you got two guys getting it done right there, and you're going to win a lot more ball games like that. If this was a few weeks ago, we lose tonight. This game is in the toilet, and we lose the game, we lose the series. So I like to see it from Dahlbeck. He's rifling the ball. He's not one of those all-or-nothing power hitters, and that's what I've wanted to see the whole time. Like Job says, hopefully he'll start to increase his production against right-handed hitters, but just looking at his presence at the plate and his demeanor, even when he's at first, big improvement. He doesn't have that constantly defeated look on his face, and I love to see it. Doug, who's your...
Yeah, he's actually up. Ahead. I was just one more thing there. He's actually up to 140 against righties. I misspoke when I said 088. He's up to 140, which is, you know, drastically different. 60 points higher in the last 2 weeks, 11 for 77. But his on-base percentage with guys on base and his slugging percentage with guys on base is through the roof right now. It's up to about 590, which is about 200 points higher than it was for the first month of the season when anytime anybody was on base, he was an automatic out.
And Terry, you made a really good point about his demeanor changing. He doesn't look defeated anymore. And that was one of the things that was driving me crazy. It's like, you can't look that way, Bobby. Just stick with it. And he has, and I've been, you know, he's done a really, really good job the last couple of weeks. So hats off to him for sticking to it.
Absolutely. Who's your stud for the series, Doug?
So my stud for the series is Kike Hernandez. You know, coming off the IL, he went 6-for-13 in the series with a home run, a double, drove in 3 runs, and scored 3 runs. He just brings so much energy to this club, and this lineup is a better lineup with him in it. Of course, I'd love to see him walk a little bit more, being in the leadoff spot, but his average is over 260 now. We just need that on base to come up a little bit, but coming off an injury, I think he had a heck of a series. So Kike's my stud for the series.
Yeah, I mean, can't argue with that. He had 2 home runs in his game at AAA right before coming up, so he's very clearly feeling good, seeing the baseball well. But he went, you know, 2-for-5, 3-for-5, 1-for-4. Those numbers I don't love. So if you remove the, you know, remove the runs batted in from that, I don't necessarily love the numbers. What I do love is I love that with guys on, he's starting to really put the ball in play. His batting average with balls in play is pretty low. It's about 240. That should come up a little bit. That's about 20 points lower than league average. So that should come up a little bit, and he'll be a real force. And, you know, like Doug said, if he can walk more, the top of the lineup is going to be really, really dangerous. I don't expect him to hit at the top of the lineup for a long, you know, in the near future. I expect a big shakeup there. But we're about 50 games in. That's where Cora starts to shake the lineup up.
We're coming up on that 50-game mark shortly. 6-for-14 on the series, that's leadoff hitter-type production. Is that sustainable? Probably not if we're being realistic, but it's not a perfect team. It's not a perfect team. We're going to get into some other aspects later on why it's not perfect, but we'll take what we can get. He's not lost at the plate. He's given you a decent at-bat. And if he can be a 250, 260 hitter there, we'll take it. We'll take it.
It really shows when you see Verdugo slump, right? Which we saw about 2 weeks ago. We saw Verdugo really slump. And you go, oh, God. Like, if we have, you know, Kike Hernandez isn't doing well and Verdugo's not doing well, then we're in real trouble. But you see Kike kind of step it up. It gives Verdugo a chance to take some of that pressure off him and hopefully makes him a better hitter in the long run as well.
Absolutely. My stud for the series, I'm going to just go with Mr. Clutch, who didn't really have a great series until that final at-bat in the ninth inning. Three-run bomb by J.D. Martinez. Red Sox were losing 7-5 as J.D. stepped into the batter's box. When he left the batter's box, the score was 8-7, and J.D. saved us. Won us the series. We're, what, only tied for the division lead, I think, if we don't come up with this win.
We would be tied with Tampa.
We would be tied with Tampa. Yeah, so a big moment for JD, and I just want to say this, because it doesn't get said enough. He's not David Ortiz, and I know in the last episode I was expressing a little bit of surprise that Devers isn't drawing comparisons to Ortiz with how clutch he is, but JD Martinez in the 3 or 4 hole is a great guy to have in that area. We saw it in 2018. It's almost hard to imagine winning a World Series without David Ortiz with the big roles that he had in the previous ones. And you had JD step up that year, and we won a World Series in the post-David Ortiz era. And I'd like to think on a night like tonight, David Ortiz would have bailed us out. But here it is, JD Martinez. So love to see it. His bat was a little cool this series, but in the one moment where we really needed him, he came through. Job, thoughts on JD?
Well, I was telling you during the game, in about the seventh inning, when I sent you my studs and duds, that he was going to be on my duds list. And he bailed himself out with that home run, bailed out the team, got us, you know, kept us in first. Just one quick thing on him that I'm not loving to see. Over his last 30 games, he's hitting .292. Over his last 15, he's hitting .254. And right now he's hitting .260 in his last 7 games. So he's cooled off a little bit. And as the race tightens, we really need him to get hot again. I'm not saying he's going to hit .350 for the rest of the season. But even if he has that clutch gene, that's not quite enough for me unless he's going to, you know, hit a little bit better than he's hitting right now. Though the rest of the team is starting to pick it up. So if the rest of the team can pick up his slack, as long as somebody's willing, we'll be okay.
Doug, thoughts on Martinez?
Yeah, JD didn't have a great series, but all is forgiven when you, you know, hit that game-winning 3-run home run. So I'm not going to get on him at all. The average is a little concerning, but those home runs, we all know they come in bunches. So hopefully this is the start of a hot streak for JD. I don't worry about JD Martinez. He's one guy I just never worry about because I know what he's going to give us. He's always going to be, you know, hit in the clutch for us. He always does it. So I'm not going to worry about him. But, yeah, again, the average is a little concerning, but it is what it is with JD.
Well, you know, the strikeouts is what concerned me a little bit. He's got 6 strikeouts in his last 7 games. He's looked a little lost. But in that last home run, Perry, you mentioned how that was super clutch. Did it look to you like he swung that hard? Because to me, it looked like he just kind of flicked his wrist and the ball was in the bullpen. I understand it's a minor league stadium, but that was awesome to see. Because when he generates that kind of power to right center, it means he's going to get going pretty soon. And if he gets rolling the way that he was rolling at the start of the season, then we're going to be in really good shape down the stretch.
I have a feeling by the time the year is all said and done, his batting average will start with a 3. And his home run total will probably start with a 3. Maybe a 4 if we're lucky. But yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Let's see. The only other standout honorable mention, I guess, in the batting order, Job, you kind of touched on him already. Alex Verdugo, 5-for-14 on the series, hit a home run in game 2. Seems like since the back issue started, that's when the slump started, and I think he's kind of pulled out of that, and he's starting to fire on all cylinders. So love to see it, and we need him getting on base as well as Kike when JD does come up and Xander as well. So good series for Alex Verdugo. As far as the pitching went, pitching was not very good, and we're going to get into that on the dud side, but we'll give Garrett Richards his due as an honorable mention. 6 2/3, 7 hits, only gave up 2 earned runs, did walk 4, struck out 5, but seemed to be in check throughout the whole outing anyway. So, and I'll admit, when I see Garrett Richards coming up, you know, in a pitching matchup, I'm not a Garrett Richards guy, but I don't spend a lot of time worrying about Garrett Richards anymore either. So
can we give Felipe Valdez a little golf clap as well there? 1.1 innings pitch, 1 hit. He's starting to be one of those guys that use him often, but when you use him, I really don't worry about his performance either.
He's going to have
to. Yeah, I also like Felipe Valdez a lot too.
Yeah. His ERA coming into the series was 2.93, so it's a little under that
down
now.
Down to a 2.7.
2.7. So, yeah, I mean, Cora's going to have to start using him more in high leverage and not these funky situations where we're ahead by a lot or behind by a lot. So
I think we'll get into that
in a few minutes.
Episode a little bit, or even on the dud side. But on the dud side, Perry, if you don't mind if I make that transition, my dud is the guy that I wanted for high leverage situations in this series. I thought this was his high leverage audition, if you will, and that's Salimura. I thought Hiro had a chance to kind of take that role from Ottavino if he performed well in this series. He was not good tonight at all. He gave up the leadoff triple. Went 0.2 innings pitched, ended up with 3 hits, gave up the 2 runs, including the go-ahead run, and walked the guy. So even though his splitter was there, he didn't really get ahead in the count against hitters, and he paid for it. I think that was really, like I said, his chance to take the 8th inning role from Ottavino, and he didn't manage to do that. So he's my dud for the series for sure.
Doug, thoughts on Hiro, Sawman?
Yeah, I was hoping Hiro would be taking over the 8th by now from Ottavino, but if he's going to have outings like that, it's not going to happen. It was disappointing, to say the least. You know, like Job said, 3 hits, gave up 2 runs. His ERA is 3.18, so it's not horrible, but when you're in those high leverage situations and this is what you're doing with it, you can't trust him. And so I'm looking for anybody at this point that we could trust in the 8th inning, and it's nobody stepping up, and so that's disappointing to see. We just mentioned Valdez. I don't think Valdez is ready for that spot yet, but maybe we can see a little bit more of Valdez, and maybe down the road he'll be ready for that, but we'll see. But I guess, unfortunately for now, we still have Ottavino in the 8th, and it's just tough to trust anyone in the 8th inning right now. I mean, you just got to get to Barnes, and it's just like at this point, it's like you're holding on for dear life just to get to Barnes. So Salimura was disappointing, to say the least, tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that leadoff triple, Terry, I want to hear your thoughts on leadoff triple, because that ballpark plays like a double-A ballpark or even a single-A high school ballpark. That's probably a fly ball out at Fenway. And it's a triple down there in Florida. So I don't know necessarily if people are holding that against him, but I was not impressed with his performance. What are your thoughts?
Well, didn't Renfro bobble the ball a little bit? It should have been a double. I think it was a double and an error. So I was going to get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, it was a tough way to start the inning. And I just feel like he'll eventually get into a rhythm and then be one of our better high leverage guys. We didn't see him at all in the previous series against the Angels. Jason pointed that out on the last show. So the bullpen's a problem. Like, whether it's Sawman, Ottavino, Darwinson, if one of our starters goes 5 innings, and that's what most of them do, Erod, Perez, Pivetta sometimes goes longer, but today it was 5. Evoldi, 5 innings. How do you get three innings out of the rest of the bullpen to get to Barnes with a lead. This is a bad problem right now.
It's a puzzle, and we're missing several pieces. That's the way that I look at it, right? Is especially right now, the guys that you trust, every time we do an episode, the list shrinks. The start of the season, the first 2-3 weeks, the bullpen was the strength. It was the one part that we just kept, you know, instead of doing studs, it was the bullpen, and then who are the duds, you know? And at this point, it's starting to be a stressful problem. I don't think that this is a long-term issue for this bullpen. I think they have some guys out there who can do it. They just need to find the right combination. The ingredients have to go in order. And we're coming up on that mark. Like I said, that 50-game mark where Cora starts to shake things up. I think we might see one less arm out there as we get closer. And then we'll see, have a little bit more of a picture of how Cora is going to use this bullpen down the stretch.
I've never looked so forward to Ryan Brazier coming back, but he should be back within a couple weeks. But it's certainly been brutal. And one other thing before we move on, I'm also wondering if the constant juggling of guys being mixed in and out is affecting these guys. Maybe a guy needs to be told, you know what, you're going to be the eighth inning guy and you're going to be the seventh inning guy. And that's what you need to focus on coming into the start. Because
I agree with you. I agree with you, Terry. I think a lot of guys are struggling to figure out where their innings are coming from, and they don't necessarily have the routine. They don't know when they're going to be needed. They don't know when they're going to be ready. I think part of the reason that, you know, Valdez, for example, hasn't seen a lot of innings is because you're juggling 13 arms out there and everybody's got to pitch every couple days. So you got to, no one's really seeing a lot of innings except Barnes, you know, who's been phenomenal, but everybody else, it's like, we have to get him some work somewhere. So I'm hoping that as we shrink it, we kind of revise it. Maybe we'll whittle it down to a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy at Barnes.
Yeah, and
I just don't know if there's an eighth inning. Sorry. I don't know if there's an eighth inning guy on this roster right now. I don't trust Ottavino at all. And it seems like, I feel like that's what Cora is. Cora thinks it's Ottavino and that's his guy in the eighth. And I don't see it. He scares me every time he goes to pitch. And I don't know who else I would put in the eighth. I know you want to stretch Whitlock out eventually to make him a starter, so you can't make him your setup guy. So it's just like, what do you do though if you're Cora? Because that's what you have, and that's what you're stuck with right now. So I don't know what they're going to do. Like I've been saying, I think the bullpen is definitely a thing that we need to target at the deadline, near the deadline. Who knows if they do that? Like you said, Ryan Brazier coming back. I've never looked, like you said, more forward to seeing him. So hopefully he could bring some stability in the bullpen. But right now it's just a struggle each and every night. Unless it's Matt Barnes, you're just, you know, you're nervous.
If Brazier's on, he could certainly be an eighth inning guy. Hang on, one last thing. Matt Barnes has never done this for a full season. He's never done it. And what happens if he does slip? And then Barnes isn't reliable for a few weeks or a month. Then how screwed are we? That's how dicey things are right now. And a bad bullpen could absolutely sink us for the bulk of the season. That takes us from an 88 win team, maybe down to an 80 win team.
Well, look at that. We have Perry above the 80 win mark as the low point, Doug. This is a great part of the season. I didn't think we'd get there.
Officially, so I'm at 78, but that's fine.
Rising with the tide. I think that there's some guys at AAA that they trust to be slot and go guys in the bullpen. Pizzardo being one. And then normally this is where I go, Andrew, who are the other guys? Because Andrew knows all the guys at AAA and what their numbers are every given night. Doug, I don't know if you follow the prospects all that much the way Andrew does. But I know there's some guys down there at AAA who could help us that just we're trying to find 40-man roster spot for. I'm sure we'll get to talking about the 40-man roster at some point in the next hour or so, either of you know, this show or the next one. But I think there's arms there that can help you. You just got to find out who they are. Find a way to get them on the 40-man because there's a big roster crunch right now on the 40-man.
At least we got one solid month out of Matt Andrees. So that's good. We got April out of him, and that's pretty much all we're going to see probably the rest of the week from him. So
Bizzardo, I'm just following up on it right now. Left the game the other night with an injury, but apparently it's only a lat strain. So that's better than an elbow problem. All right, so Joe bled off. Doug, who's your dud for the series?
My dud for the series is Eduardo Rodriguez. 5 innings, he gave up 5 runs on 11 hits. Struck out 6. That's not awful. His ERA is now at 4.70 for the season. And I'm just starting to grow concerned with him. He hasn't really looked good pretty much for the entire season. His velo was down early in the year. He's getting back up a little bit. His last 4 starts in the month of May, his ERA is over 6. 1-2. He just gives up so many hits. His hits per 9 is out at 10. He just hasn't looked right, like I said. It's just been it was a disappointing effort at E-Rod. Hopefully he turns it around quickly because he's a vital part to this ball club moving forward. You know, this guy's our number 2. He's our ace right now, and he's just not pitching like one. So, yeah, I got to go with E-Rod for my dud, unfortunately.
Joe?
Yeah, I think it's tough not to go with E-Rod. Based on, you know, just his performance in this series. That was the one game that we had out of reach early. It was one of a very few games this series, or this season even, that have felt like there wasn't really a competitive chance for the Sox to win at any point after the 4th inning. So I understand that choice. I'm not concerned about E-Rod's long-term prospects. I am very happy that we didn't listen to general manager Terry Cushman about signing him to a long-term deal in spring training, or especially when Terry was, you know, really on the horn after that first good start that he had, where he's saying the price is only going up from here, because actually the price is going down right now. As we watch this, it'll come back up a lot, I think, as he, you know, gets healthy and starts to feel some rhythm in his every, you know, pitching every 5th day. But Doug's right. He's had some injury problems with the dead arm and getting his velocity. And then after the COVID shot, he had a rough start. I'm not holding anything against him to this point, but we need a 3-7 out of him at the very least, not a 4-7, if we're going to make a playoff run.
He's got the worst earned run average on the team right now. It's been a tale. He started 8 so far. He's made 8 starts. And the first 4 have been drastically different from the second 4. First 4 starts, and this is when the myocarditis thing might have been a factor. He pitched to a 3.52 ERA, 3.52, and had a 0.86 whip. That's borderline top of the rotation stuff for his first 4 starts. Let's go to his second 4 now. An even 6.00 ERA with an astronomical 1.85 whip. That's, he's going to the slaughterhouse.
That sounds like those numbers sound a lot like the numbers that Neston put up on the broadcast tonight for Steven Matz, who had a 1.97 ERA for his first 3 Blue Jays starts, and then and an 8 ERA for his last 4. In a similar position with velocity, not necessarily the same injuries, but I agree with you, Terry. I wonder if maybe they could find a way to get him some 6 days off, you know, 6 days rest between starts with some of these upcoming off days. If maybe they, you know, skip him in the rotation even one time through and everybody else goes on normal rest. I haven't looked down the schedule to see, you know, where his slotted starts would be and if that's even possible. But I'd like to see, you know, him get a couple of extra days off and see if maybe with, you know, 6-7 days off, if his arm, you know, revives a little bit.
Well, his velo is starting to come back up a little bit. It's just he's not locating his pitches, any of his 4 pitches right now. And he's not wild. Like, he only had 1 walk, but they're just always in the middle of the plate, and he's getting slapped around.
Yeah, they're not sharp. I think he's overthrowing a little bit, trying to get the velocity up, because he, like everybody else, you know, I don't know if he listens to the Bastards of Boston Baseball, but he listens to the media, he checks his Twitter, and he sees, oh my God, his velocity's down, concerned, red flag. And he knows that means his contract numbers are going down for next season and beyond. So my guess is he's overthrown a little bit, trying to hit his old velocity numbers. And while doing so, he's just losing a little bit of that sharp command that we're used to seeing from him. And he's missing middle of the plate. So I'm hoping that maybe if you give a little bit of rest, just kind of, even if Cora just talks to him and says, look, we don't need the Eduardo Rodriguez from 2019. We need the Eduardo Rodriguez from 2018, even, where he pitched to a 4-4. We don't need, you know, an amazing stud at the top of the rotation right now. We just need to get through five every fifth day. The offense is going to give us a chance to win it. We're an offensive team. I'd be okay with a 4-2 ERA rate.
It's just frustrating because 2019, the first 2 months weren't great, but the last 4 months were. He finished sixth in the Cy Young. And those first four starts, like I outlined, was basically a continuation of 2019. And now he's just, we're getting 2017, 2018 Eduardo Rodriguez. And we need him to resolve that. You know, I don't know if that's a Dave Bush thing. Veritek's been working a lot with the pitchers lately. Maybe try putting him with Kevin Plawecki for one start just to shake it up. I think they need to try different things because the more he gets knocked around, the more the bullpen's going to get knocked around because we're going to need them for extra innings as well. So
I look at it, Terry, and I see in the upcoming couple of series, he's going to be slated to face Philly in that third game of that Philly series. So we wouldn't even be able to find a way to give him a day off in that, you know, in that stretch unless we skip somebody and somebody pitches on short rest, and that's not going to happen. So I went and mentioned that, you know, that Philly series, but if he's going to pitch the third game, he'd also be slated to pitch the first game against the Marlins, which is a 7-10 start on the 28th, which would be Friday. And I just don't see them skipping him in the rotation if it's an every other day thing. We need to get lucky, and his start turn of the rotation needs to fall on an off day. The next time that we see Eduardo Rodriguez after that Marlins series is going to be against the New York Yankees in New York, and that's when you'll hear from me red flag time, or we can go back to being calm about Eduardo Rodriguez.
He actually has good numbers at Yankee Stadium, so. He's got to resolve it by then. So let's see. It's on me now, right? My dud for the series, I'm going with Hunter Renfroe. He was 2-for-8 in the batter's box. That's 250. You can't complain about that a whole lot. But everybody's raved about the defense, and the defense was what was going to make it worth keeping him, regardless of his struggles in the batter's box. And he had a bad throw to Rafael Devers in game one. He tried to gun someone down from right field, and the ball went over towards the wall there, and the run ended up scoring. Not that Eduardo Rodriguez was going to be saved in that game, like we were just saying, but missed his mark there. He got thrown out trying to leg out a double at second base. He's not a good base runner from what I've seen. He's had some base running blunders. He's gotten caught sleeping off of first base at one point. And tonight, that hit, I think it was, might have been Simeon. He basically just, and I got cut off. So, he basically, hasn't had a very good defensive last few games, and we need him to be a lot better defensively. So I just got bounced out of the Zoom chat, so trying to get back in it, just bear with me. For some reason, it's always the midweek show that I start having these issues. So which is kind of awkward if I'm being completely honest. So reinitiating that right now. Pitching was not good in the for much of the series, really. Games 1 and 3, we had Rodriguez obviously get slapped around. Matt Andrees just continues to not pitch very well. He had a 3-inning outing, basically finished the game after Rodriguez, and gave up 3 runs, 7 hits, just looks absolutely terrible in there. And I really don't know what his long-term future is. Right now it would have to be mop-up duty by the looks of it, because he was extremely reliable as a long reliever coming in. If someone had a short outing, Andrees would be one of the guys aside from Whitlock. And unlike Whitlock, you could kind of use Andrees a little bit more. So Red Sox don't have a lot of long-term long relief options aside from him. Pivetta tonight, it's hard to get on him, but he gave you 5 innings, 7 hits. It looked like he was recovering from that bad first inning where he gave up 3 runs, but kind of fell apart in that 5th inning, which led to the game being tied. So not great there on the part of Pivetta. So the other guys just aren't joining me. I sent an invite, so trying to get these guys back in. Unfortunately, we do this live. I don't do a lot of editing, so doing the best I can to try to get these guys back, but let's see. I'm just trying to wing it right now until they do. Michael Chavis kind of had an up and down series. Got on the base pass. He had an error tonight on the second base. Bogarts tried to flip a ball to him. That was when I think Pivetta in the 5th inning, and he ended up dropping the ball, or maybe that was with Salamora, my bad. And basically the inning continued, another run scored, and then Toronto was up by 2 runs. So Chavis ended up recovering with a couple of other plays. They turned a key double play later on and didn't seem to let the that drop ball affect him at all. So I am just going to move into the series preview here. I'll have to pull that up. Normally, I rely on the other guys to do it. I apologize for this right now. I don't know if my Wi-Fi is cut out and they're just not getting it, but oh, here's Job right now.
Oh, there you are, Terry.
Yeah, sorry. I've been talking to myself and stumbling. The audience probably was like, Cushman's just not having it together right now. So I basically just crapped on Andrees and mentioned the Chavis error when he dropped the ball from Bogart. So I basically got us all the way through the dishonorable.
So the dishonorable mentions?
Yeah. So perfect. We'll just get right into the Philly series and hopefully not have any more issues. So game 1 for the series, I'm guessing that's Martin Perez versus Aaron Nola. So Nola, their ace for the last few years, having a pretty decent year, 3.64 ERA, striking out a lot of guys, and coming off of a, excuse me, I thought it was a 9, inning shutout. He's actually, Nola's actually been getting tuned up, 4.58 ERA in his last five starts. So apparently we're catching him at the right time.
Yeah, he has not been good in his last couple of starts. Specifically, Milwaukee, he went six innings, only gave up one run. So that's probably what you're thinking of. His last start, he was pretty good. But before that, he went four innings against a very good Atlanta team. Five hits, five runs, one walk, only four strikeouts in that game. The strikeout numbers have been down. And his start even before that, he went six and two thirds, but he gave up nine hits. So he's not been great, but he's been better of late than he has been on the season. He's been getting shelled a little bit. Our offense should be able to keep up with him at this point. I'm a little bit worried about the fact that, again, he's a righty. The Red Sox are slightly better against righties. We're fourth in the league against righties, but the people who aren't good against righties are the bottom of the lineup. The bottom third of the lineup's not good against right-handed pitching, and so that worries me a little bit, because even if the top six guys are hitting, the bottom of the lineup's three automatic outs, especially with, you know, the pitcher hitting. We're one position thinner in the lineup. It's going to be a struggle to score runs. So I hope we win that game. And yeah, it looks like we have our, you know, quote unquote A bullpen. We'll be ready for that game. So I'm not necessarily worried, but I don't necessarily think we win that game.
And Martin Perez seems to have that one inning every start where he get 30 pitches to get out of it. Yeah. So yeah, hopefully. So Job, you're leaning towards the Phillies in that start.
I'm leaning towards the Phillies a little bit, but you know, who knows? I know a lot of people will be listening to our next episode as well. There's some shakeup coming. We'll talk about those. There might be some roster moves before that series opener. So I might be singing a different tune by the time first pitch comes around. But right now, I think I'm leaning towards a loss for that game one.
Doug, what's your prediction for game one?
So optimistic Doug is kicking in, and I think we're actually going to win tomorrow. I just have a good feeling about Perez tomorrow. I don't know why I shouldn't, because you got our fifth starter going against their ace, but I just have a weird feeling about tomorrow's game. I had, like we were talking about, Aaron Nola hasn't been all that impressive this year. Our bat, Devers is due for a big series. You know, like we said, Dahlbeck has been heating up. So hopefully we can get it done. I just have a good feeling about tomorrow's game. Like I said, I don't know why, but I do. So I'm going to give us a win tomorrow.
All right. I'll lean towards a win as well. Mr. Negative will go for a win there. Game two, Nathan Eovaldi has been up and down. It's been a roller coaster the last four starts. It's been bad start, good start, bad start, good start. He's going up against Chase Anderson, who got lit up in 1 1/3 innings. Yeah, gave up seven runs in his last outing. So without getting too far into it, I'm just going to assume Eovaldi won't be that bad, and that looks like a very winnable game.
I think so, too, and I think there might also be a bullpen game for Philly. I have it pitched out as they probably won't need that many bullpen arms in game one. They'll probably rely on their starter for six and a half, six and two-thirds, maybe seven innings in game one. So game two, I'd expect to be more of a bullpen game. That works in our favor for game two. I'd expect them to win.
That's a 7:15 game two, so that's nice.
Yeah, we'll it's Fox.
We'll be able to see it prime time. Yeah, Sunday. You would think that might be a Sunday night ESPN matchup, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Zach Wheeler, but it will be a 1:05 start. And Wheeler having a very good year. He's been very good his whole tenure so far with the Phillies, and I'm just Erod. Hasn't given us a lot of reasons to pick him. I'm just straight up going with the Phillies game three.
As am I. I agree.
I look at it and I think this is probably a game where we win this one on the back of Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm going the other direction. The reason I say that is I look at the last three starts. I know it's a total reversal of roles here, Terry. But I'm looking at the last three starts for Zach Wheeler. He pitched a nine-inning shutout, three hits against Milwaukee. He pitched six innings, eight hits against Washington, and seven innings, five hits against Miami. Neither Washington or Miami is A, healthy, or B, as potent of an offense as us. And if there's a team that you want to face as a pitcher right now, it's the Milwaukee Brewers without Christian Yelich. That team is lost offensively. So them putting up three hits, getting shut no hit does not, you know, or shut out rather, does not bother me as a Red Sox fan looking at this series. I think we probably put up anywhere between 7 to 10 hits, 4 runs, and we win this game 4-2.
I'd love to see it. And that would mean Rodriguez had a bounce back. And I think we all want to see that. So Harper, Real Muto, Gene Segura, Reese Hoskins, all having pretty good offensive years. So they could certainly punish our pitching staff if they're not sharp. So this is a very interesting series. And the Phillies could do some damage this year. They had a little bit of drama last weekend with Joe Girardi, and Gene Segura had kind of a brouhaha, and then Girardi had a meltdown in the post-game press conference, which isn't the first or seventh time that's even happened. So we'll see. But they're a team to watch this year, and two first-place teams going at it. So we'll see how it goes. I guess on that note, we will wrap. 24 hours after this episode posts, the next episode, Red Sox Deep Dives, will come out. And we've got tons of deep topics to go over on that episode. For instance, how does Danny Santana fit? What's his role going to be? What's his upside? Who's not going to be with the Red Sox due to him getting activated? We're going to talk about the odd man out once Chris Sale gets activated. Tough decision there. Maybe someone gets reassigned a different role, but certainly a deep topic. And we're going to get into who we fear most in this division in the next episode. So should be action-packed, and it will be available 24 hours after this one. Take care, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.